Good morning, everybody. Dave Sullivan here for First General Credit Union and the Credit Guy TV show. Today we are going to be talking about student loan debt. Lady J, do you have any questions about student loan debt?
I have tons.
Okay, good. So hopefully you're not overwhelmed with your student loan debt, but if you do have questions, I'd love to help you out at 231-722-8338. You can call in and we can talk about student loan debt, the best way to handle it. There are actually some ways of having your student loan debt paid for you, but there are very specific things to qualify for. But there are some additional ways to make your payments lower after you graduate as well. And we'll be covering all that, but I wanted to start out by saying that we are sponsored by First General Credit Union, the best credit union in Muskegon, also my favorite Muskegon credit union. Lady J, are you, the weather's nice out finally.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have to wear a coat today, or did you?
I wore a coat today, but I always do, just in case.
Just in case it gets cold, because yeah. We're in Muskegon.
Exactly.
It could get cold at any time.
Exactly. You always have to be prepared.
Yeah, we're looking at better weather, hopefully. And one of the things I wanted to talk about before we got into the student loans was we had a quick meeting. We have meetings every Wednesday morning, and we were talking about credit cards and what happens if you have a credit card charge show up on your statement, and how long do you have to dispute it, and what are you liable for, and how long, you know, it's important that if you are reviewing your credit card statements on a regular basis, hopefully that you all are, you have 2 days. Check with your financial institution, but normally you have about 2 days to dispute that thing. If you don't dispute it quickly and additional charges show up later, you can actually wind up being liable for some of those charges. So you need to watch your credit card statements every day. You should be logging in online and checking your credit card statement, because like I said, if something comes up and then you don't dispute it right away or let the credit card provider let them know, you could actually be liable for some of those charges. And you know, that's something that everyone should consider when they're reviewing their statements, don't you think?
Yes. Good. Very important.
Okay. So we're going to be talking about student loan debt. Right before I went online, we are on Periscope as well. If you want to find us in Muskegon, you can find us or call in at 231-722-8338. If you have some student loan questions, we're going to be covering them in the first segment at least. When I did a quick interview with the president of the Michigan, or the nation's president of the Mortgage Bankers Association, and he was concerned about student loan debt. Now is over $1 trillion collectively, and it's one of the big hindrances to the mortgage industry, because now when they try to get a home loan, so if somebody goes through college and they have $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 in debt, $100,000 in debt, they graduate with the loan equal to their first house. Like in the past, people would graduate from college and they wouldn't have so much debt, so they would then buy the house and then they would have the debt equal to the house. Well, now they're graduating with the debt but without the house. Hmm. So that's why so many people are moving back in at home.
I definitely understand that one. It gets expensive.
It sure does. And that student loan debt can really keep you... It's not wiped out by bankruptcy. I don't think people realize that either. I mean, you can go through some horrible financial situations and declare bankruptcy, and then the student loan debt survives the bankruptcy. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people don't realize when they go into getting the student loans, that that will survive bankruptcy. You'll never get rid of that debt. Yeah, you have to pay it off. And, you know, people are always saying, well, how can I get free college? Well, there is a free college program out there right now. It's called Joining the Military Service, right?
I don't think that everybody likes that alternative.
No, but it is free. I mean, my son has a good friend of his that was given a scholarship for 4 years. Was not a great athlete, but was determined. Was on the rowing team, but he didn't get it for athletic or academic scholarship purposes. He got it because he enrolled in the Marines.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to get a 4-year paid degree, but and he's going to be a Marine, which is not so bad. You know,
I mean, unless he has to be called to active duty, he can't finish out the degree.
Right. You mean if he were to die in service?
That's kind of drastic.
Right. But if he's called into active duty, he still gets to do the degree.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I mean, if he's, it takes longer.
Sure. It does take longer. It's harder. I mean, it's hard to be a Marine. I don't think I could do it.
I can't even swim, so I'm not even thinking about it.
Right. So I sink, too, when I try to swim. But, there's a program out there. I'm not saying it's perfect. And none of these programs that I'm going to talk about getting your college student loans paid off, are great alternatives. They involve work, and it's not going to be fun. In some cases, it might be fun. But, I mean, it might be teaching in an area that's underserved is one way to do it. Or becoming disabled, right? I mean, that's not something you want to do.
No, but right? You know, there's a lot of people that are using that lately, nowadays. It's hard to get that type of stuff, too.
It is, and you wouldn't want that. But if you are somebody who that has happened to, you can get your... I mean, you're struggling already. So the government says, well, how about if we just, you know, work on getting your student loan debt forgiven? I mean, I think it's a good program for those type of people who are actually disabled.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's a lot of fraud out there.
Yeah, fraud and just a lot of just people getting denied because they're very strict.
Right. They're becoming more strict.
Mm-hmm.
So what I always tell people, and I've given a number of speeches to graduate students, is once you graduate, the first thing you want to do is get a consolidation loan. Because when you graduate, normally you have multiple loans. So let's say you have 10 different loans because it's all based on semester. So every semester you have a new loan. So if you have 10 different loans and they're all maxed out, and occasionally sometimes you'll miss a payment because you're in college or something doesn't get filed right, so now you have a 30-day late, it's a maxed out account, and you'll have 10 of them. So what you do is you get a consolidation loan. Now, where do you go for that loan? Lady J, any ideas?
I have no clue, okay. But just to give these people a reminder, you can call in 231-722-8338
if you
have any questions on student loans or credit.
Please give us a call. Thank you, Lady J. I normally get that phone number wrong.
Oh, you're welcome.
So first step, get that consolidated into one loan if you can. Now, where do you go? Hopefully, all your student loans are from one provider. If they are, you can go to that one loan company and say, look, I'd like to get this all rolled up into one loan. That way you have one payment and you don't have to worry about, you know, paying a bunch of different loans. So you get that consolidation loan. So now you have one account that's maxed out, and it might be for $100,000, but it's still better than having 10 accounts that are maxed out. And what I tell people then is to apply for deferment. I mean, if you can get the deferment, it gives you time to get on your feet. And normally you can get a deferment right after college if you haven't yet found a job. Or if you're still looking or don't have the job that you went to school for.
Yeah, that's very easy, actually. I've actually used that a couple of times.
Good. So apply for that deferment. But here's the thing about the deferment. Many times you'll apply for that, and let's say that's supposed to start in April, and for whatever reason, it doesn't get applied till June. And then you have a 30 or a 60-day late on that one that should have been deferred, but it wasn't. So make two payments past the deferment date. Before you say, okay, that's deferred, I don't have to worry about it right now.
Oh, okay.
So make those two payments extra and then get it deferred. So now you've got one account with no 30-day late and it's deferred, so you don't have to pay for it. So you can get yourself straightened out from other perspective. Now, another good thing to do is then to build out the rest of your credit report. You don't want to just have one account that's maxed out. You need to have other good accounts. And you should get a credit card. We talked about that installment loan that you can handle and make those payments. And it doesn't have to be big. It just needs to be on your credit file.
Yeah.
Once it's on your credit file, then you can start to build good credit to offset that student loan. But you've got that wrapped up. You've got it set aside. And now you start to think, well, maybe I did get a teacher job and it doesn't pay quite what I thought. what you can do is you can apply for a graduated payment, meaning that the payment is lower and then goes up with your income. So there's something called a graduated repayment plan where you can apply for, and then it will match your income as a percentage of your income, what you pay in your student loans.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. There's a program out there, and, you know, you can, it would increase about every 2 years is the adjustment on that.
Hmm.
So it's graduated, right? There's another plan out there called Income Contingent Plan. The borrower would make payments based on their income, family size, loan balance, and interest rate. Borrowers in the Income Contingent Plan can have a payment as low as $0 per month, depending on their income.
Does that include the interest, or?
Well, interest will still accrue.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's the catch.
It's not interest-free.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is contingent on your income, which is good.
Yeah.
Right? Income-based plans are out there, and then pay-as-you-earn plans. And again, these things are based on your income, but it uses 10% of your discretionary income as the payment plan. So if you made $30,000 a year, your yearly payment would be $3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, other plans that are out there to help people not necessarily pay the full amount. So you're on deferment, and then you need to maybe hopefully get a job in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to match up your payment the best you can with these different plans
mm-hmm.
to your income. So you're not buried.
Well, yeah. But are there, with the whole interest thing, you have to keep that in mind, because if you're making a $0 payment and then you're like, well, where's this other stuff coming from?
Well, that's the extreme. Hopefully you're not going $0. But it can adjust down to that if you're not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
But handling the situation, not letting it go, because, like, let's say you're broke and you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Ignoring the debt is not the best thing to do.
Oh, no.
So if you get these payment plans that adjust your income, if your income does go to zero, you're not missing payments at that point.
Right.
You know, so you keep going, and you hopefully, you know, even if you are at zero payment plan, I would tell you to still make payments if you can.
Right, exactly.
But I always felt like, and that's one of the things, when I was younger, we got a 30-year mortgage. Well, we could have afforded a 15-year mortgage, but we got the 30-year mortgage in case something happened. It was like a couple hundred dollars cheaper a month.
Mm-hmm.
If we had extra money, we'd pay it on the mortgage. But if we didn't, we could still get by with a lower payment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like insurance in a way. But there were times where my wife and I both lost our job early on.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no money, and that lower payment really helped.
Yeah.
Now, we eventually paid that house off and then moved. But so you want to set up your life in a way so that if you had no money coming in, how long can you make it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these payment plans help you do. You get the deferment, and then you set up your payment plan based on your income so that you can get by as long as possible with no money. And hopefully you'll have a job and you'll make money, but that's the idea behind it.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity out there. Now, there is a way to get some of your student loan forgiven at the end of the term. So in the income contingent plan, income-based plan, and pay-as-you-earn plan that we just talked about, it spanned over 20 to 25 years. So let's say the borrower owes $85,000, and the interest rate is 6.8%, which, by the way, as a side note,
mm-hmm.
I don't really like the fact that they're charging the students these kinds of the rates that they're charging.
Yeah, the interest is the...
The Fed funds rate is 0.25.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Fed funds rate is at. And we're still up at 6 and 7% on a student loan.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah. Now, that's what I'm putting... Never mind, I can't say that, but...
it's horrible. I don't know why we need to have the highest rate possible on debt that cannot be canceled, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You're going to pay it. Why are those the highest rates out there?
I've never understood that. They want people to go to school and get educated and know how to do the job right, but then they know the economy is bad.
Yeah. Well, and especially for kids coming out of college,
mm-hmm.
right? Why do we need to have the high... The risk is not there to justify that kind of interest rate. That should be lower than a mortgage rate,
mm-hmm.
because you can declare bankruptcy on a mortgage,
mm-hmm.
although they have collateral. I guess that's the difference. But, you know, what's a house worth, right? I mean, we all saw the houses that were stripped out down to nothing.
Oh, yeah.
On the way out, right, a couple of years ago. Anyway, aside from that, The term is 25 years. So if your income is $35,000 a year, the income-based payment repayment plan is $218 a month. At 300 payments, you pay back $65,000 of that debt. Now, at the end of 25 years, you would qualify for a $20,000 debt forgiveness if you enroll in this plan. But hopefully, your income will increase from $35,000. So hopefully, over the next 25 years, you won't make just $35,000. But if that happens, so again, you're setting up yourself in case, let's say something bad happens, the economy's crappy for the next 20 years.
Oh, please don't say that.
And you only make $35,000. At the end of that, you can get $20,000 forgiven on your student loan debt. So again, you're setting yourself up to succeed regardless of what happens. Now, hopefully you make five times that much and you pay all this debt off in 10 years and you're fine. But if it doesn't happen, you're covered and you get this $20,000. And if you've only made $35,000, people can be very happy on $35,000.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
If you buy the right house, if you buy a duplex and you got them paying all your bills and you buy a brand new car, you buy a used car and you got lots of free time and you're doing everything you want.
You're sensible about it, yeah.
And you are, maybe you're a teacher, you have a very rewarding job, you're working with kids. I mean, that can be a great life, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you set yourself up for success and get your student loans organized so that you don't have to pay the full amount and you can still have a great life. I mean, do you think people are obsessed with money in this country?
I think it's not the money. I think it's the money to buy the materialistic things.
Right, the shiny objects.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The brand new cost of clothes or cars,
yeah,
and food.
Cars are just crazy now. I mean, you can buy, it's a pickup truck, right? Mm-hmm. $70,000 for a pickup truck?
Yeah.
Right. Farmers, you know, 20, 30 years ago, if you told a farmer a pickup truck would have like leather seats and four doors, and they'd be like, what? What? What's going on?
You know,
Something horrible happened.
I'd rather have a nicer house than a car. Yeah. I wouldn't care so much about the car.
Right. Yeah, I agree. We've only bought one car my entire life, new.
Oh, wow.
They've all been used. And I know you look amazed because I'm so old, right?
No.
Oh. but yeah, just one new car in our whole life. And the only reason we bought that was for a tax savings on our taxes. So a new car is not what you need. Mm. It really isn't.
Yeah, I agree. I know a lot of people, they're like, oh, yeah, I want this and I want that. I'm
yeah.
Like, well, as long as I get from A to B.
It's almost like buying a new boat. It almost doesn't make any sense to spend that much money on a boat. And as soon as you put it in the water, it is worth, 30% less.
It's
as soon as it hits the water.
Just depreciate it like that, at least $3,000.
Same thing for a car. So buy a good used car. And at First General Credit Union, we have a lot of great used car partners who sell some of the most beautiful used cars I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's all about the quality,
yeah,
not necessarily about the quantity of the price.
If you go to our website, 1stgeneral.com, we've got some great dealer partners out there, and we are very selective with who we bring on. And there are dealer partners listed there that you can find one in your area, and we have a great relationship with them. And I've been on all the dealer lots. And the cars are amazingly clean. You know, the people who are not as conscious about the quality of cars, we don't do business with them anymore. So it's a great opportunity to get a good quality used car at a used car price and save, a huge amount of money.
Right. Yeah. Now, I did have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How much of an impact does the student loan that you have on your credit report?
Great question. So here's the thing. If you graduate and you have 10 student loans and you really have like one credit card, you can see the balance is off there, right? So you've got 10 accounts that are all maxed out. When you combine them all into one, you limit that. So now if you have two accounts and one's a credit card that you keep, at a low balance, and then you've got the one installment loan, you're going to be much better off. I've seen credit scores go from the low 600s to the high 600s with just that one thing. Not paying anything off, just getting that one account. Combining them all into one is a definitely the first step you should do. And then get the deferment, like I say. And then get, you know, 3 to 5 bank credit cards to offset that. It's all about the balance, especially in the early going. You want to have a good mix of credit. Now, when you get a credit card that's 30 years old, mix of credit is not that important. But early on, you want to have installment, you want to have revolving, right? You don't want to just have collections. If you have a medical collection on there too, with installment loans, with 8 student loans on there, I mean, it's going to be devastating. You're going to be in the 500s easy, especially if they're all maxed out.
Yeah.
So mix of credit is important. Now, the first person who signed up for the credit launcher program over at First General, I checked their credit recently, and it was up about 10 to 15 points after 2 to 3 months, and that's great. But the problem was she didn't qualify for the revolving account as well as the installment account. So she just got the installment account, and she had other student loan installments on there. So it didn't help her as much as I'd hoped. But after the 6 months, we're going to roll her to the credit card, and that's where she's going to start to build up.
Okay, so the installment, it helps a tad bit. Mm-hmm. But the credit card is what's really going to have that big impact.
Well, in her situation, you remember, credit is all individual.
Mm-hmm.
In her situation, she had other installment loans. So adding another one, while it helps, it doesn't help to the same degree that the revolving for in her situation would have helped.
Mm.
So as she adds that revolving account and more time goes by, her score will go up and up. But it is just about at the point where she could get a mortgage now, and she was not there before. So even though it was just a little bit of help, it got her over the hump to where now she could get a mortgage.
Oh, I see.
And she couldn't before. So that's one way to take care of a student loan. There's also public service loan forgiveness. Do we have time to cover this real quick?
Good.
So the public service loan forgiveness. If you serve the federal or state government, a nonprofit 501c, or if you have a nonprofit in the public service, which includes emergency management, military service, public safety or law enforcement, public health services, public education or public library service, school library and other school-based services, public interest law services, early childhood education, public service, or individuals with disabilities and the elderly. Those are all the people who qualify for public service loan forgiveness. So if you work in those type of businesses, you can have your debt forgiven. Now, you need to have the income contingent, income-based, or pay-as-you-earn programs in place first.
Okay.
And then borrowers can qualify for forgiveness after 10 years or 120 payments instead of the standard 25 to 25 years that we just talked about.
Oh.
So, you know, it's so important that you follow the steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So step one, consolidation. Mm-hmm. Step two, deferment, right? Step three, income contingent, income based, pay as you earn. You get those in place. Now you have the opportunity to go after forgiveness after 10 years or 120 payments instead of the standard 25 years.
Is this 10 years after you graduate from school or you started school?
After 120 payments.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's 10 years of payments.
Okay.
So if you've made payments for a little while, you can still qualify for that.
I see.
So again, so this is, you know, nonprofit 501c, if you work for a state, federal, or local government, or a nonprofit in a public service. So that could be law enforcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or working as a an emergency driver, what do you call that, ambulance?
Yes.
Driver.
Officer.
Or working at a school.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely check that out. You know, once you get those steps in place, now you can go further and look at the public service loan forgiveness, which I think is a great opportunity for people as well.
I think it's lovely, because if you can have the chance to get them completely wiped out, why not take it?
After 10 years, I mean, that's half the time.
Yeah.
So we talked about in the previous example that you were going to pay back $85,000, but if you got on the plan and you didn't make any more money for 20 years, you would get forgiven $19,000. Well, if you cut that in half, you could get forgiven $40,000. So it could double your forgiveness.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Right. And people don't realize that this is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is actually, Obama did this. You did that. That was a good.
Now, is this set in place for now?
It is.
Or is it just until somebody else?
Well, I don't know. who knows, right?
If we have someone else in there, I'm not sure. Yeah, but
right.
So, better, you know, might as well get it while you can.
I don't think it was an executive order. I think it was an actual bill that was passed.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we're good there.
Okay, that's good.
And I don't see anybody taking this away because we need to address the debt problem that students are having. And this is one way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we want people to give back to the community. And if they are, we should encourage them with less debt.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe less interest, hint, hint, for whoever's listening.
Yeah. I mean, right. We talked about that. So the other thing I wanted to say, I mean, hopefully you're not in this situation. And, you know, if you did pass away, maybe your student loan debt is not something you're concerned about. But if you had somebody pass away, that debt is discharged as part of that. So maybe not your first choice is getting your debt forgiven. And then the same thing for disability. If you do become permanently disabled, you can apply to get your debt forgiven. So those are the options. And there are some options out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people don't realize that.
I hope that they know that it was that there's more to it than just saying it's over. I'm not going to get my credit together and just say forget about it, because that's the worst thing you can possibly do, especially with student loans.
Yeah.
With all the accruing interest, you can end up in a lot more money than you originally start off with. So,
especially at that rate, people don't realize, you know, how quickly 6% can add up, 6%, 7%.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you get a credit card from us, it's like 8% on a credit card mm-hmm. for the best possible. So, I mean, they're charging kids almost credit card-like rates.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the government always talk about how bad credit card companies are, while the government's charging that same type of rate on the student loan debt.
And that's for education.
Yeah, which can't be wiped out by bankruptcy,
which should
be the safest type of loan you could ever make.
Exactly, especially since you're actually going to school
right.
for a certain occupation.
If they, I mean, it should be, you should get a better rate than the bank could get because they are less likely to not get paid back than a bank. We're going to take a quick break. Oh, okay. We're going to wrap up. So we talked all the way through the break.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So thanks again for tuning in. And if you have any questions, we can always be reached at 10 o'clock on Wednesday from 231-722-8338. Is a phone number?
Yes. 231-722-8338.
And you can always reach us online at 1stgeneral.com, which is First General Credit Union, Muskegon-based credit union, my favorite credit union. Lady J, is it your favorite?
Oh, yes.
Good. No pressure.
No
pressure on that. But thanks again, future Emmy Award-winning producer, Lady J.
As always, you're far too kind, Dave.
Well, one day. When you get huge, I want you to remember. I remember that guy.
Oh, I definitely. Okay. If that happens, okay. I got you.
I want to go to the Emmys with you.
Cool.
All right.
I'll make sure I have that plus one.
Okay, good. Well, thanks, everybody, and have a great week, and we will see you next week.